You know, adversity is life's gymnasium, and being able to overcome whatever comes our way unpredictably or predictably is the key to success. And as you overcome each and every little or big thing, you then be able to rise in your identity and break through the ceiling of complexity. So as you folks know that I just want to continuously provide value and bring folks in that do what appears to be superhuman. And right now I have the real Superman, James Dixon himself, to right here at Atlantic City, New Jersey. We're at the Hoop Group live period summer finale, and we're here kicking it, doing a podcast, and sharing some good information for you good folks. James, what's going on, brother?
Man, I'm honored to be here, Coach Gill.
Well, first of all, thank you for flying in, number one. And that speech you just gave at the end of the game was incredible.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Incredible. And, you know, for me, I just want to enjoy this journey with you and go back from where we started, where you started. And, and what were the early years like where you eventually became Superman, or the real Superman?
Man, I tell you what, one of the things, all of my childhood pictures, there's images with me with Superman belt buckles, Superman t-shirt or whatever. But it was something that, the idea that he didn't have limitations. And for me, being a child with disability, I had surgery about every 6 months from the time I was 3 months of age.
Wow.
So I had 33 surgeries by the time I was 11. So much scar tissue. The only thing that was left is to take my leg. And that I didn't want to do.
What was the original diagnosis that you had the surgery?
This is what's horrible. No one knew what was wrong with me.
Okay.
Until I went to the Shriners Hospital, they found out I had poor blood circulation.
Okay.
So all my life, everything was just speculative, practicing, trying things on me, making mistakes and trying to fix them.
Got it. No real plan. And was it what, both legs or just the one leg?
No, it was just one side, my right side.
Okay.
You know, but it showed up in my right leg. And
you like, from age one, you weren't walking anywhere,
no,
though. You
never.
So how did you get around when you were younger?
One of the things I did was crawled a lot. And as a result of that, it kind of made people think of me as really being disabled, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they saw so many limitations, but it was the only way of me getting around so I could keep up. But it's hard to fight people crawling. It's hard to defend yourself crawling, you know?
I do.
But that's the way it is in life, though. You find a way to get around no matter what.
Yeah.
And so for me, I didn't want to be labeled as a crippled child, a crippled kid on the porch, all those other things.
Yeah.
And that's why you're doing with these kids. You're taking the limitations off their lives.
Yeah, and it's amazing. So when you were growing up in the neighborhood, did you have some kids that you hung out with, or was it like, did you go out to the park, or
no?
What was it like, 7, 8, and 9?
Well, I was always in a hospital or rehabbing.
Got it.
So I was always on the porch, so all the other kids in the neighborhood viewed me as and called me the crippled kid on the porch, right?
Okay, got it.
And so I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, older relatives, which gave me a lot of wisdom and stuff, right?
It did, yes.
So, I mean, so I gleaned some of that.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's amazing.
And they were telling me how they kept reinforcing what I could be.
Okay.
You see, they had lived long enough, they had seen things that you can't see in the moment.
Yep.
Because all I know is I want to go outside and do what the other kids did.
Yep.
And only when cousins would come over could I interact. But even they were told to be gentle with me.
Got it.
Right?
Got it.
And so living with those limitations and then growing to the point to where I am now, they saw it before I did.
Got it. And then all of a sudden at age 11, what happened?
So we go to the hospital, and the Shriners Hospital for Children, and they don't tell me that I'm going to lose my leg. It's just another surgery.
But did they know that going in? Or
decided? They had asked me if I wanted to lose it and gave me a choice.
Okay.
And I said no. And when I woke up, it was gone. So I felt betrayed. I felt frustrated. I felt angry.
Wow.
But that's one of those tough calls my mom had to make, right?
Yep.
But at the time, it felt like betrayal.
Yep.
Sometimes I'm sure when you're talking to the kids, this, that, and the other, you're giving them discipline. It seemed like you're being mean.
Yes.
But in reality, you're giving them nothing but love.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And that's, you know, truly amazing. And what happened, you know, for the next couple of years? Like, what was the world like for you?
For me?
You have no leg and
see, brother, that was a challenge.
Journey start?
I wish I could say that it was positive, that I was excited about it. But I felt like hope died when I woke up and my leg was gone. I felt angry. I felt hurt. I felt betrayed. I felt abandoned. I watched the fact that my only experiences was in that moment, right? And a kid that was there beside me at 8 passed away. And so the reality that I could die was in my head.
For the first time?
For the first time.
Got it. And you didn't want that?
No. And then there's a kid beside me in the other bed who's paralyzed from the neck down. Mm. And I watched his mother come in. They closed the curtains for privacy. But there's no privacy.
Yeah.
And she said, Gil, I can't do it anymore. The idea of getting up and trying to take care of you is too much. Mm. Mama's got to live her life too. And these people are going to take good care of you. And she left for good. And his last words as she left the room with Mama, please, I won't be bad no more.
Oh, my God.
Begging her, right? So I felt that not only would no one come for me,
oh my God,
but either I would die, I've been abandoned, I've been betrayed, and they were going to walk away.
Whatever happened to Gil, you know?
One of the nurses adopted him.
Okay.
And if that hadn't happened, man, you know,
yeah,
that was an upgrade in his life, though it felt like a betrayal and abandonment. You know?
Is he still alive? Like, you know how he lived the rest of his life?
I wish I did.
Okay.
You know, once we left the Shriners, I was only there to see him go out to a concert with Lionel Richie. So, you know, he was getting some opportunities, man. You know? So he went on stage with them. I saw him get adopted. So for me, that was a win. If nothing else great happened, having that love, having someone who could care for him,
yep,
that was a win.
So now you were there, you lose your leg, and now the rehab starts. Was there coaches? Was there counselors? Was there anything that came in?
I didn't know of any amputees. I'd never seen one before until me. And the rehab was difficult because my spirit was down.
Yep.
Because my mom said I would never be able to do anything.
Yep.
Every dream I had. And then I decided. Now, you'll love this story because it's funny.
Wait.
One of the things that they do is they bring people around for you to see how they walk so you can learn how to walk. So it's like they'll bring a doctor by and you watch their gait, their movement. So you can try to imitate that and learn to walk.
Because you have the leg. Now.
Yeah.
You're
getting a leg.
You have the wooden leg.
Right.
Yeah.
And so but then they brought a janitor came by. And all the kids wanted to walk like the black janitor.
Because, he had some swag.
Yeah, he had some swag. So can you imagine?
He was able to walk with a swagger.
That's right. Imagine you lose your leg, and they're like, here's a doctor with all his training, dignity, and all that. He's walking by, and like, you want to walk like him? No. Who do you want to walk like? The janitor. That dude. The lowest paid dude in the building. Him. That's who I want to be. You know? So that was, you know, you kind of would, you would see, and then you would try to duplicate.
Got it.
And
so that was your early training.
That was my early training.
Now, were you starting to lift weights at this point? Because you're a big guy, right?
Right. So
were you big when you were little? Like, what did that
look
like for
you?
No,
so I got mom to get me a Hulk Hogan weight set.
Yes.
When I was 12, that was my rehab. They bought that. And, man, the Hulkster with that say your prayers, eat your vitamins, all that stuff. I'd be in there lifting, and grandma would come over, and she'd be like, "Woo, look how big you are." I'm like, you see that? And I would get hyped behind it. And it started me building that strength.
And did you get off the porch?
I got off the porch and started playing basketball because that was the one thing that Indiana was known by.
Yeah.
And so I thought because of hard work, because of determination, what I had overcome, I could walk now, I could run now. I was dragging a 25-pound wooden leg around.
Wow.
Right? And I just thought I would be able to make it because of that determination.
Yeah.
But no. You see, sometimes in life, no matter how determined you are, you're going to get a no.
Yep.
But then you got to find out, am I strong enough to overcome the no? Because determination must also hit will, right?
Yep.
I've got a will that I'm not going to lose or quit just because I heard no.
Yes. Yes.
So I started. I asked the coach what I did wrong. He said I didn't finish the mile in 6 minutes, right?
Okay.
So I got up at 4 a.m. and I ran, and there was a sign at Wendy's that said, Wendy's 1 mile ahead. Mm. So I ran, I touched the building,
bang,
and I timed it. I touched the building. I did that every day until tryouts came.
Yeah.
So I even did wrestling some for the fact of the cardio, because the wrestlers were in the best shape.
Plus, you were used to crawling from earlier times in your life, right?
Dude,
that had a benefit.
Crawling, running. But so I had developed a lot of strength, right?
Yeah.
So strong, I've always been. And it came into play. So I go ahead, try out. And when the coach cut me, it felt devastating.
Yeah. Even after you were able to do the mile in the 6 minutes.
Even because it was more to it than that. At the time, it felt like I was being picked on.
Yep.
But in reality, I look back, even though I did that, there were other aspects I still needed.
But in fairness, was he ready to pick an amputee, though?
I don't believe he would have given me that opportunity.
Got it. That's what I'm saying. Right. Like, that's It doesn't matter. You still on your job. I'm just wondering the mindset.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
But the greatest thing that coach gave me was rejection.
Yes.
Because of him, I put in work. Because of him, I went to prove him wrong.
That's right.
And when I found out his son, this is how I came to AAU. His son mentioned he was trying out for an AAU team. And I was like, where are they holding tryouts? And when he said the boys club, I went there.
Yeah.
And I knew that without his dad being the coach and putting him out there.
Yep.
That's
what all this is.
Yeah.
Daddy boy. You gotta
man.
Get yep.
So I
yep.
had to. I went at him. And I knew I could break him because I knew I could intimidate him. The harder I played, the more he got soft.
Which is my next question. Yeah. You got big, right? All the kids that picked on you, did you set the record straight?
Man, listen. I had to hunt down some people. There were some kids that were, you know, calling me pirates and picking on me, you know, taking sticks, putting in a sock, putting a shoe on and say, find my leg and all that stuff. So I'm like, okay. So when I got bigger, you know, I was like, hey, say that joke again. No, I'm serious. So let me got to tell you, this one kid, I was newly learning to walk.
Yep.
This kid, and he was bigger than me at the time. He beat me up. He won. I give it credit for the win, right? But
how do you beat someone up with one leg with a straight face?
Yeah, but he did. He didn't care.
Right.
So he sat beside me on the bus the next day and was like, let me see the damage I did. Yeah, I did good work. You know, I mean, he won, and I'm a little intimidated by him. But I promised myself, one day, I'm going to get this dude back. So life goes on, man. I get involved with church and find the Lord, do all those things, positive stuff. I'm a dad now. I'm married. All this other stuff has happened in my life. And then I run across this guy. And I made a promise to God that I would whoop his tail one day. And I didn't want to disappoint the Lord. You know what I mean? I owe this dude. He was overdue.
And the Lord gave me that blessing.
So I'm walking to my dog, and I hear this guy's name called out, and it happened to be the guy that had this win over me. So I hear his name. I'm like, oh.
Like,
so I was like, hey, are you Terry? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, man, so I'm tying my dog to his fence. And I Andre the Giant over the top of his fence. I stepped over it. And I was like, man, I've been looking to talk to you. Now, I wasn't coming to talk. And he's like, man, look how big you got. I was like, yeah, that's right. I'm coming. Give me a second. I'm coming over there. So I got to square this up. And he goes, listen, I've been listening to you, and you're so positive. When I lost my wife and my kids, my home and everything, it was your words that got me through. And I was like, God, you got a sense of humor, man.
He does.
All right.
God definitely got a sense of humor.
I couldn't hug him because I wanted to hit him. So I had to pat him on. All right, buddy. So I had to let it go. Sometimes.
And that's what happens.
Best revenge is the release.
That's what happens,
yeah,
right? That's right, especially when I've had that too, where I've been angry or want to see somebody at a later point in my life for many different reasons. And by the time you get there, especially if you're on your come up,
oh, man.
There ain't nothing there.
Yeah, you can't punch down. They can never.
Then it's going to hurt you.
Yeah, it is.
Right? You know?
I can see now, they're like, hey, the most motivational, inspirational guy is arrested for assault and battery.
Exactly.
And he was, that kid never grew. From the time he got that win on me, it stunted his growth. He's still 5'7".
Yes,
you know?
God punished him.
Yeah, that
That's
is.
What happened.
If you're 5'7".
So you are 5'7". I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but you're 5'7". So James, let me ask you this. What an unbelievable journey. AU basketball, you eventually got a scholarship, right?
That's right.
And what happened as college and then into your post-college life? Like, what did that look like for you? Like, what happened next?
Man, you know what?
I know there's a beautiful story about the New York Knicks.
I actually did move to New York. So growing up, I wanted to prove everybody wrong.
Yep.
That the loss of my leg
didn't
mean I wasn't valuable. Didn't mean I wasn't worthy. That wasn't to be loved or respected, right? Yeah. And then what I found is that when I was trying to get validation from everyone else, even when you prove them wrong, no one will ever have a moment where they come to you and go, I'm so wrong about you.
Well, you think they would, but it just never happens. They just don't look for it, folks.
No,
it ain't going to happen.
You can't look for validation from them. In fact, they'll say, I knew you could do it all wrong.
Don't minimize it.
You'll never get that validation. But what I found is that my purpose is that the loss of my limb became an opportunity for me to have a voice, to inspire people. The things I had learned to overcome and do so I could walk like you, move like you, you know, do everything that able-bodied people could do became stuff that other amputees had never seen. Yeah. And it put me, strategically placed me, every rejection, every broken moment, everything that I went through in life from the time I left college, in early life, every experience prepared me so I could impact other people's lives.
Amazing.
You know?
Amazing.
It was like the perfect recipe looking back.
Were you able, in your 20s, late teens, develop really good relationships with people as you started to like take that next step forward in life?
Man, I wish
were good mentors or teachers or anything like that.
You know what? If it wasn't for mentoring people that step into my life, and someone that everyone needs a coach.
Yep.
Everyone needs somebody. If you're not growing, if you're not being challenged, you become stagnant, you become disappointed, disillusioned. All your dreams seem like they were just nightmares, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't fulfill them. And resentment will kick into your heart because you feel like I married and because of this, I got kids, I never got to do my dream.
Yes.
I would have made the Mets if I hadn't did this. I would have done this, whatever, right? But that's not the case. You see, having a coach in my life at different times, different people, at different moments pushed me to become better, right? And if you don't have anyone that's provoking you, what the things that you're doing, the way you're doing with these young men, the way you're doing business, community, you're provoking them to be a best version of themselves.
Yep.
And when they discover that, you teach them that their best can be better.
That's right.
You know?
Yes, I agree with that.
And so I needed that every day of my life.
Cause and leadership, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. So what? How did you become like this social media sensation?
Wow.
Like, what's going on? Like, how did all that happen?
Yeah.
You didn't just show up at your front door.
Well, listen, so here's what happened. I got a hold of that 5'7". No, that didn't happen. So here's how it happened. I was headed into the gym.
Yep.
And I had decided I was going to stop being ashamed of being
an amputee. You were working out all the time. Is that
the whole time? But I was working out because I don't want to go to a wheelchair.
Yes.
You see, I had atrophied by not using the leg.
Okay.
You deconditioned.
Yep.
So I put in work because I didn't want to go to a wheelchair. But then I realized it wasn't just about me. I needed to speak up and be bold for other people.
That's
and
right.
So I took on that responsibility. And when I began to share my story, I just started recording it with my cell phone.
Oh, really?
Right?
And
I would share and I'd be very vulnerable and transparent. And it began to catch on.
That's amazing.
And the moment that people, I'd go to bed and I'd wake up and there'd be 40,000 likes or 40,000 views, 60,000, 100,000, 941,000. And you're like, so the YouTube just began to grow and spark. And now, absolute motivation is.
But what gave you the idea
to do it?
Like, not only send the message, but just keep doing it. And how you created absolute motivation on YouTube before you brought it over to Instagram.
What gave me the idea was that it was an amputee named Marcus. He was discouraged. He had lost his leg. He had no family members. Because he had aged out in foster care. And I got a call and they asked me if I would talk to him as a peer mentor.
Yep.
So I get there and he was like, diabetes, all this stuff. I can't eat right. I'm poor. Excuses, whatever. Valid or not, they were still excuses, right?
Yep.
And he was like, why should I let them take my leg when I don't have a family, I don't have a future?
Yep.
And so we are talking bedside, and I said to him, if you don't lose your leg, if you don't give it up, you'll lose your life because you go septic. And I don't want to live in a world where you're not in it, and I had a chance to do something about it.
That's right.
And he said, but man, if I'm going to go through this surgery, nobody's going to be there for me when I come out. I don't have a family. And I said, I'll be your family. And he said, you promise you, if I do this, you'll be here when I get up. And I vowed to him I would be there.
Yeah.
And it's those moments like that, right?
Yeah.
That's what sparked it.
Yeah.
Because when Marcus woke up, I was there.
And you know, that's phenomenal, by the way. And you think about people. Mm-hmm. When we, I don't think about who's going to be there for me if I'm going to have surgery to lose my leg. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine anyone listening that thought of what it's like if you're going to go into surgery knowing you're going to lose your leg and the mm-hmm. fear of that mm-hmm. and being able to have the right people around you to help you through that is, I understand the gift. Mm-hmm. And when you started to catch fire, is there something now that's happening because of what you've been doing with social media?
Man, you know.
Because I know you came in to see me.
Yeah.
You're going all over the place over the next 3 weeks.
So, you know, there's a documentary about me, a book deal.
What's the name of all this stuff?
Yeah. So the book, everything is Absolute Motivation. The YouTube, Instagram, of course, I have a Absolute Instagram, but also Superman is for Real.
So those are two different things or the same thing? Are they the same channel?
Same channel.
Absolute Motivation.
Absolute Motivation, and then you have Instagram.
Got it. Yep. Right? Understood.
And so now I'm traveling. I'm speaking everywhere. The loss of my leg wasn't for nothing.
Yeah.
Right? But the loss of my grandmother, who, you see, losing your leg can feel like you're having a private funeral. And a lot of men will feel like, I've lost my value in life. I'm not a man enough. I'm not a whole man anymore.
And they don't know how to talk about it, right?
That's right.
Got it. Yep.
You know? And as a result of that, there are a lot who have tried to give up life. I deal with soldiers like that, vets.
Yep. Yep.
In fact, I'm just speaking with White Feather, which is an organization to help vets. September 2nd and 3rd, I'm coming there for them because they need a voice. They need someone. So everything I went through was to teach resiliency to someone else, you know?
Yes.
And so now as a result of it, I'm the spark plug to the wheel for a whole different group, man.
So amazing, James. And let me ask you this. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Brother,
what's the outcome?
When this is done, I will have duplicated myself in the lives of tons of Jameses that tell their own story, right? Yeah. There will be epic elite kids who are now headed into the NBA or they're doing something that remember I spark plugged them from an interaction. There'll be over 1 billion people that I've reached. Last year, I reached 126 million people that viewed the videos.
Amazing.
Not 200 and some thousand that follow me over Instagram. So if I'm at over 100 million in my first year, in 5 years, I want to reach over 1 billion people, right? And then after that, make that 2 billion.
There 2 billion or more.
2 billion or more.
2 billion or more.
Might as well.
Yeah.
If you want to make impact, make a big one.
2 billion or more. So the impact is there like, do they sign up for a class? Is there just a message? What is is there another step that folks could take?
Right.
To learn more about you.
Well, this is it. So we're doing to do coaching. Like right now I'm doing a tour across America. I'll be in Atlanta the 14th and 15th.
14th and 15th Atlanta.
Right. I'm opening doors for other people. There are people who want to be a speaker. There are people who feel like they had a gift.
Yep.
There are business people like you, right?
Yeah.
That if they got to meet you, you would be able to save them so much pain, problems.
I would.
You know?
Yep.
And so what I've been doing is trying to grab as many Rob Gills and put them in front of people to help impact
a
whole generation.
I love
that. So that's what I'm doing.
I love that. Yeah. And are you married?
Yes, I am, man.
Who are you married to?
I'm married to an Asian Vietnamese short lady named Nikki.
How did you guys meet? Take us on that journey, James.
Man. I know where you're going. That's
I'm
why
not going to say nothing.
You set me up.
I just want to know the journey.
All right, let me go be honest with you. So I was walking down the street, and a little Asian lady jumps out of the car and says, hey, baby, $5 holla. No, she said she saw me, and she – no, that's not what happened. I met her. We were involved with ministry, loving the Lord. I don't know where you got that other story from.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I waited. I was like, we're not going to have sex until marriage.
Because you were following the Lord.
That's because of God.
God said to not do it.
It's about honesty, integrity.
Yes, wait for it, folks.
And then, so wedding night came, and I had been lying to her the whole time.
How long was the whole time?
Like a year and a half.
A year and a half. They didn't cross over the boundary.
That's right. No sex. Nope. Honesty.
Honesty.
Integrity.
They wanted to wait till they got married because God said so.
That's right. And you got to honor the Lord, man.
Yes.
And so for me, I told her I had a knee brace.
Mm. Oh, she didn't know about your leg.
Well, that's the part I lied about. So on the wedding night, it was time to tell the truth. After I do, I...
Were you nervous?
Well, I figured I'd just surprise her. You know what I mean? I'd already, you know, she was like, you know, finally, after a year and all that, I turned the lights off.
Oh, the lights had to go off
first.
Yeah,
lights off. So that, and I know how to scoop quietly in the bed, right? And so now that you're officially married, consummated, God is honored. It was time to tell the truth.
Yeah.
So I started hopping. And she's like, what is that? And I said, are you shallow?
She didn't know he had one leg.
Yeah, yeah.
She wasn't aware of it.
That's right. She was.
But the love is strong, right?
Love is strong,
love
man.
Is strong.
Love is strong enough that she allowed me to hop into her life.
Yeah, amazing, amazing, amazing.
No.
So you guys in your marriage, and I would say you're from what I, you know, I had the good fortune to have dinner with you guys. Mm. What does it look like as far as, you know, really helping to make the world better together?
Wow.
And what you guys are accomplishing, I think it's amazing. Super excited about, you know, you being here right now telling that story.
Well, you know, all jokes aside,
yes,
having you go through trials and tribulations in every marriage, right?
Yes.
And she actually had a Great Dane attack her, and she lost her eye in October.
Yeah.
And losing her vision changed her whole life. And that's one of the ups and downs in life, right?
Yeah.
She has a compassion for animals. She's there trying to help it. It attacks her. And I was in a triathlon in San Diego at the time. She calls me screaming what she's going through. I couldn't be there.
Yep.
But so I fly back in, and it would just so happen, you lose vision or lose something in your life, and you happen to be married to someone that knows how to deal with adversity and loss better than almost anyone alive.
Yeah.
And so me being able to minister to her with all that had I not been encouraged to become honest and open about the loss of my limb through her, I never would have been able to come back and minister to her needs because of what I had become with her.
I'm assuming it made you guys even closer.
Man, it you know, the bond of what that becomes is that when you overcome something, you become something, right?
Ooh, overcome something, you become something. I love it. Tremendous. Yeah.
So that is it.
So what do you want to, in closing, what do you want to tell these folks? Number one, and we're going to put in all your handles, how they can reach you.
Great.
The whole nine yards. Maybe at one point with our audiences do a webinar, a live virtual webinar.
Count on it, brother.
But what do you want to share with these folks?
Let me say this. Adversity and trials are unavoidable. You're going to go through it. You can lose something in life. It could be a business. You can go bankrupt. You can lose a relationship. You can lose a limb. But the loss of a limb or a portion of yourself isn't the loss of who you are.
Yeah.
Your value is not determined by the sum of your parts or the sum of your income, right?
That's right. That's right.
Whatever you're facing must also face you. Stay connected to people that encourage you. Stay connected to people that believe in you. Anyone that thinks that you are limited because of what has happened to you isn't a person to understand the depths of who you really are. Don't allow people to limit you.
And you don't want them in your world if that's the case.
That's it.
Right? So listen, folks, go ahead, click the link below, continue to follow. And if there's any comments, please add comments. But if you want to meet James and you want to direct connect with him, please let me know. I'd love to be able to set that up.
Let's do it. One James, hop this time.
I can't thank you so much for this. I'm looking forward to just hanging with you. Guys, thank you for showing up, and thank you for checking us out. We're trying to really bring as much value that could help you become better in life and in business. And entrepreneurs are what make a difference and make the world go around. Anyway, thank you so much. Right here, Atlantic City, New Jersey, Hoop Group, live event, meaning live coaches are here to see all these players and their scholarships that get given out on days like this. Anyway, thanks for checking us out.